Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and welcome back, everybody, to the RTC Weekly Download. We have a few programs for you to listen to this week. We'll start off with an episode of the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. This one is dated 1952, so it makes it much later in the series. Most of the programs you hear from Phil Harris, Alice Faye is more toward the late 40s. So we'll listen in on this one. This is called The Harris Kids on Television. And after that, we have something from Hollywood is on the Air. It's a promotional feature for the movie Love Thy Neighbor with Jack Benny and company. And we'll have an episode of Fibber McGee from 1955. So let's get started with the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Today, Phil's little girls are a surprise hit on a television show, and someone tries to capitalize on their talents. How Phil foils this plot, we'll see in a moment. But first, this word from RCA Victor. Carry a tune wherever you go. Take along an RCA Victor portable radio. RCA Victor brings you the pick of the portables. Powerful, compact, and easy to take anywhere. It's a wonderful the way a portable livens up a gathering, brings in your favorite programs most anywhere. Stop in at your RCA Victor dealer tomorrow. See his entire line of RCA Victor portable radios. And pay special attention to the personal. There's a portable with Bell Clear Tone that delivers all the volume you need indoors or out. And yet, the personal is a portable radio just 6 inches high, no larger than an average book. Yes, for spring fun, get the handy lightweight portable that's ready to go and ready to play anywhere. Get RCA Victor's most compact portable radio, the Personal. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. A new television show has just started in Hollywood. It's a variety show featuring the children of famous stars. Today, the Harris children are appearing on it, and Phil and Alice are bursting with parental pride. They're at home, glued to their television set, waiting for their girls to make their appearance.
Gee whiz, Alice, the show's been on 20 minutes. When are our kids gonna be on?
Oh, quiet, Phil. Here comes the master of ceremonies with a little boy. Let's listen.
All right, let's step right up to the microphone, son. So you want to be an actor, eh?
Yep.
You want to go into motion pictures?
Yep.
Do you think you'll be as good as your father?
Yep.
Thank you, Gary Cooper, Jr.
I thought they'd never get that kid to stop talking.
Oh, isn't he adorable? And he looks just like his daddy.
Yeah, only 4 years old and he's 6'3". Hey, honey, I wonder when our kids are going to be on.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to present the daughters of two famous stars.
Oh, here they come now.
Yes, folks, we take pleasure in presenting you little Alice and Phyllis, but first a word from our sponsor, Levy's Love Seats.
Levy's Love Seats.
Yes, Levy's Love Seats, the cornerstone of home entertainment for three generations. You can't go wrong on a Levy Love Seat because Mr. Levy stands behind every love seat. Get one of these lovely love seats.
I don't want no love seat. Especially with Levy looking over my shoulder. Look, I want to see my kids.
They'll be on soon, Phil. But gee, they've had some cute children on so far, haven't they?
Eh.
Oh, come now. You must admit Groucho Marx's little girl was adorable.
Yeah, yeah, she was cute. If you like little girls with big mustaches.
Imitating her father, and I thought
quiet,
she
Alice. Look, they're bringing our kids on now.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting the next two little girls. They're the daughters of those two famous stars, Alice Faye and...
Hello, everybody.
Let him mention my name. What's the matter with that kid?
Oh, Bill, she's just a little anxious.
Let her be anxious on your name, not mine.
Surely you folks have all seen the mother of these children, the famous Alice Faye, and their father, the equally famous Phil Faye.
Oh, I'm going to lump that guy's lousy love seat.
Mister, that's not my father's name.
Oh, Phil, the poor child is nervous.
Now, don't be nervous, little Alice. What is your father's name?
I can't remember.
Oh, that kid's been popping her bubble gum too long. She can't remember her own father's name?
Oh, I remember now. Daddy's name is Phil Harris.
Oh, of course. Phil Harris. Why, everybody knows Phil Harris, the famous, he's the well-known,
What did he do again?
Oh, I've got to put a knot on his head.
Daddy is a famous band leader, comedian, and singer. And we're going to do an impersonation of Daddy singing That's What I Like About the South.
Wouldn't you rather recite a poem, darling?
No, I want to impersonate my daddy.
I think you ought to do a poem.
I want to impersonate my daddy.
I said do a poem. Stop twisting her little arm.
All right, we'll do a poem. My sister and I would now like to recite a poem entitled That's What I Like About the South. Give us a downbeat, Clyde.
Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling hammy, and that's what I like about the South. Yeah!
Hey, Alice.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, weren't our kids just great on that show? I can't wait to see Bing Crosby and tell him about my kids.
Well, Phil, what's Bing got to do with it?
Well, look, honey, every time I go out on the golf course with Bing, he's always bragging about how much money his kids are making with their talent. Now my kids are going to make just as much money with their talent. Oh, I can just picture Bing's face when I tell him I'm quitting as his caddy.
Didn't you just love the way little Alice impersonated me singing, What Good Is a Gal Without a Guy?
Sure. She sounded as good as you do.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. When I sing it, it sounds more like this. What good is a gal without a guy? What good is the earth without the sky? The flowers would fail to show without the sun to make them grow. What good is a gal without a guy? Now what good is a table set for two if nobody's sitting there with you? And what good is a moonlit night if no one's there to hold you tight? What good is a gal without a guy?
Who wants to live alone and like it?
You need a man around to build up your morale.
To light a match, you've got to strike it. It's wrong to be by yourself. Come on, get off of your shelf.
What good is a gal like you and me? I'm just like a hive without a bee.
Start wearing that baby stare and wearing that perfume in your hair. Then come and get it twinkle in your eye. What good is a gal without a guy? A gal can be so lonesome without the man she wants. It never seems to work out. Her heart just taunts and taunts.
Wants to be alone and lonesome. You need someone around who's gonna be your pal. It's tough to be all by your own, so
you're young. A fling has gotta be flung.
What good is a park
without a bench?
What good is L'Amour
without the French?
If nobody's missing you,
a wondering who is kissing you,
there's nothing to do but just sit back and sigh.
What good is a gal without a guy? A guy, a guy. What good is a gal without a guy?
Well, Alice, our little starlets are home. I just saw them getting out of the cab. You know something? I can't wait to tell them how great they were.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. I don't want you making a fuss over them. It's liable to go to their heads and spoil them.
Not my kids. They're modest and unassuming. They're as great as their father. And they have the same touch of humility that makes me so lovable.
Oh, Wonga, please. Now, just don't let them know how good we thought they were, because I don't...
Oh, no, Mommy, Daddy, we're home.
How did you like us on television?
You were fair.
Fair? Let's face it, Mother, we're the hottest thing to hit show business since Cohen on the telephone. How did you like us, Daddy?
You were adequate.
Adequate? Did you hear that, Alice?
Oh, pay no attention, Phyllis. It's just professional jealousy. You see, Father never got as much acclaim when he used to be in show business.
What do you mean, used to be? I'm still in it.
Yes, Father, but you're getting a little old. And now that we're successful, you can retire and we'll support you. We'll hire a nurse to take care of you.
Look, I don't need no nurse. I don't even need no... Male or female?
Male.
As I was saying, I don't need no nurse.
Well, now I know how you feel, Father, doing your show every Sunday. It's very tiring. So if you'll excuse me, I'll take a bowl of martinis and go to bed.
What are you going to do?
I don't know, but that's what you always say when you come home from your show.
Now, that does it. That does it. I'm not going to have my children acting like a couple of spoiled brats. You're through with show business.
I don't think our agent's going to like that.
What agent?
The one who signed us as his clients right after the show.
He said he's going to give us 10% of everything we earn.
He's going to give you 10%. He's the one that's supposed to get the 10%, and you're supposed to get 90%. I ain't gonna let nobody be your clients. That don't make sense, does it? I better read that again. I ain't gonna let you be his clients. I gotta get somebody else to put this stuff down. Now. That agent is nothing but a vulture, and he's preying on little kids' talent, taking their money and rot... Wait, come in.
Hi, Curly.
Oh, hello, Remley. I'm glad you're here. I want to tell you about a no-good chiseling...
Now, later, Curly. Tell my two little clients their agent is here.
Remley, not you.
Who else? Frankie, did you sign the girls to a contract?
Yep. I already got them a lot of work. Tomorrow they start a split week in Peoria. Then I got them booked for 3 days in the pastrami room at Linny's Delicatessen.
Frankie,
they get $12 a week and all the coleslaw they can eat.
Look, Remley, I just want to know one thing. Now, the girls told me that you're keeping 90% and that they're only getting 10%.
Only read the small print, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Curly, it's true that I'm keeping 90%, but not for myself. I'm going to keep it for the kids until their contract with me expires. Then they'll get it all back in one lump sum.
How long's their contract run?
99 years. With options for renewal.
Nice try, kid, but it ain't going to work because the contract ain't legal. You forced them to sign it.
I resent that. I did not force them, and I'll prove it to you. Alice, did I force you to sign this contract?
Yes.
Oh. Did I hold a gun to your head?
Yes.
Was it loaded?
Yes.
Did I pull the trigger?
No.
You see, the kids were free to do as they pleased.
Friendly, what's the matter with you? You know, you've done some pretty bad things in your life, but this is the lowest thing you've ever done.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think this compares to the time I put gunpowder in my grandmother's toothpaste and she went around shooting her mouth off.
Will you please?
Oh, Robert Hope.
Look, Remley, I'm telling you that you're not going to represent my children. If anybody's going to take charge of their careers, it's going to be me. I'm going to represent my kids.
Oh, no. Phil, you can't do this to me on Mother's Day.
Now, wait a minute, Alice. I'll handle this. I'm a pretty shrewd businessman, and I think I proved that when I drew up your contract with NBC. Nobody else in show business has a contract like yours.
I know. I'm the only star on radio who has to stay after the show and clean up the studio.
Well, I had to make some concessions. Now, look, Alice, do me a favor. You go in and call NBC. Just tell them that our talented children are available, and if they'll come up with some very generous offer, we might let them appear on their television network.
Very well, but I'll handle this in my own way. I'll be right back.
Curly, that television's kind of a tough thing. You think your kids are good enough to succeed?
That's a stupid question. They can't miss. They've got my talent.
Curly, you topped me.
What do you mean?
Your answer is even more stupid than my question.
Never mind. I'll give you an example of my talent right now.
All righty.
In my dreams, I seem to hear a whistle shrill, like the whippoorwillin' of the whippoorwill. In my ears, I hear it ringing, and the past to me it is bringing. It reminds me of the dear old Mississippi, when I loaded cotton on that stern wheel ship. Roused about, knocked about, they were the happy days, there's no doubt. On the Mississippi, where those boats go puffing along. On the Mississippi, people all go dippy when they hear a little bit of ragtime melody. It seems I hear them singing, see them bucking, winging, hear those banjos ringing. Woo, my heart is clinging to that Mississippi. Dear old Mississippi, that's where I was born. I just have to close my eyes to see that side, that river all a-glistening in the bright moonlight. And with my gal again I am strolling, and her eyes at me they are a-rolling. All along the levee see those people prance, just listen to the music, watch that shuffling dance. Lordy me, can't you see that there is only one place for me? And it's on that Mississippi, where those boats go puffing along. On the Mississippi, people all go dippy when they hear a little bit of ragtime melody. It seems I hear them singing, see them bucking, winging, hear those banjos ringing. Woo, my heart is clinging to that Mississippi. Dear old Mississippi, that's where I belong.
Curly, that was splendid. No wonder people compare your voice to Diamond Jim Brady's.
He wasn't a singer. He was famous for eating.
That's what I mean. When you sing, you sound like you got a leg of lamb in your mouth.
You've always been jealous of my voice, haven't you? Let me tell you something. I sing good, and I want you to know something, that my kids are even better. They're going to be the biggest thing in television. I'll guarantee that...
Phil, I just spoke to NBC about our children.
Oh, how much do they offer, and when do they start?
Nothing, and they don't. NBC doesn't want them on their network because they don't think they have any talent.
NBC don't think our kids have... Oh, somebody's been kicking their chimes around. They must be crazy if they turn our kids down. Look, I'm going to take over from here. Just leave it to me. I'm going down to NBC and tell that president off. Come on, Remley.
Yeah.
And another thing, I ain't afraid of you or NBC. I don't care how important you are. You can't scare me.
But, Mr. Hatt...
Don't interrupt. I'm a pretty big guy on this network myself. I'm a star. And unless you put my kids on your television network, I'll have your job.
Curly, why do you want his job? He's a janitor.
Oh, he's not the president. That three-button suit and the celluloid collar fool me.
Oh, here comes the president now. Tell him.
Oh, that's a president. Now, don't worry, I'll tell him to... Pardon me, Mr. Gruner.
Well, what do you want, Harris? I'm a busy man.
Well, sir, I... Why, you look attractive in that sanforized seersucker suit.
Did you have that suit made, or did it just grow like that?
Frankie!
Go on, tell him on.
I'm going to. Mr. Gruner, I have a complaint to make.
I have one, too.
A complaint about me?
No, about your wife. After last week's show, she didn't clean up the studio very well.
Did she sweep the dirt under the carpet again?
I didn't mind that, but she swept two of our vice presidents under there, too.
Look, Mr. Gruner, enough about my wife because, well, I'm here to talk to you about my children. Now, I understand that you refuse to put my kids on television. And I'm here to tell you that you have to put them on.
I just knew you'd give me trouble. That's why I've got your contract out. I have it right here, and there's nothing in it that says I have to hire your children.
Perhaps not. But there are other ways that I can make you listen to reason. I'm a pretty important asset to your network. And I'm giving you an ultimatum. Either you put my kids on television, or you can tear up my contract. Wait a minute. What are you doing? Can't you take a joke? Friendly, pick up the pieces. I'll get the glue. Oh, them pains. Wait a minute, Mr. Gruner. Not so hasty. Why don't you want my kids on television?
Because they don't have any talent.
Blunt, ain't he, Curly?
Mr. Gruner, won't you please give my kids a chance? It's going to mean a lot to my wife.
Oh, very well. We're starting a new children's show, and they're rehearsing in that studio right now. Why don't you go in and see the star of the show? Maybe he can find a spot for your children.
Gee, thank you, sir. Come on, Remley.
Yeah. Hey, you think this star will use your kids?
Who, the star we're going to see?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a cinch. I know every star at NBC. All I have to do is to tell him that the kids are good and he'll hire them. You know, all them stars, all these stars around here, they got a lot of respect for me.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch the way I'm greeted. Pardon me, I'm Phil Harris.
Hold the door, stupid. We're rehearsing.
Oh, no. It's the stomach ulcer that walks like a boy. Look, Julius, I want to talk to you.
Not now. I got a television show going on here.
That's just what I want to talk to you about. Look, I got an act that I want you to see, and
read
I
get... Read it, Mac. Now take your trained baboon with you.
What are you talking about? I ain't got no trained baboon. I just came in with... Oh, he must mean you, Remley. Hey, what are you doing here, Julius?
This is a kid's program, and I'm the star kid.
They couldn't have picked a nicer goat for the job.
I know a girl who necks like a giraffe.
A girl...
What does that mean?
Nothing. I just want to get in on this animal routine.
Hey, Julius, I'd like to ask you something.
What?
Tell me, what nearsighted sponsor hired you to be the star of his television show?
Don't try to be funny. It don't fit your character. My sponsor's a very smart man. He picked me because he feels that as soon as people see me on the screen, they will immediately identify me with his product.
What's he selling, embalming fluid?
I'm being sponsored by the Encino Market where I work. The owner of the market picked me because he thinks I'm good looking. He thinks I have a clean-cut, fresh appearance.
He thinks you look fresh... Oh, remind me not to buy any meat at that market. How can anybody in his right mind think that you're good looking?
Who said he's in his right mind? Besides, you don't have to be good looking to get a job in show business. Look at you, you're working.
It wasn't my face that got me where I am. I'm successful because I have charm.
You got all the charm of a bilious attack. I saw you on television once and your kisser ain't exactly appetizing.
When did you see me on television?
3 weeks ago, and Mac, you ain't very photogenic. Your head looked like a mushroom. You had a long, thin neck and it got flat and billowy on top.
Julius, that was the atom bomb explosion.
Look, Julius, I'm here to talk about my kids. I want you to put them on your show.
I don't want them on my show.
I ain't asking you, I'm telling you.
Get lost, you Cherokee renegade!
That does it, Remley. Grab them.
Yeah, I got them, Curly.
Let go of me! What are you guys gonna do to me?
Either you give my kids a job or I'm gonna holler out the top of your head and make a salad bowl out of them.
All right, all right. I'll see to it that my sponsor gives your kids a job.
Hey, Curly, while we got him in this position, why don't we get on television, too?
That's a very good idea. Look, Julius, not only is your sponsor going to hire my kids, but Frankie and me and Alice are going to work for your sponsor, too.
But, Mr. Harris, I get... You want to work for my sponsor, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, just sign this contract.
It'll be a pleasure.
Congratulations, Mr. Harris. Now that you've signed the contract, you, your family, and Mr. Remley are all working for my sponsor, the Encino Supermarket.
Boy, I can't wait to get started on my new career.
Me too.
Strawberries! Strawberries, get your fresh strawberries here. Order a box.
Rutabagas, avocado, cashew nuts. Fine contract you signed, Curly.
Well, Julius tricked me. I thought it was for television. How was I supposed to know we signed to work at the market for the next 3 years?
I hope you get hives from those strawberries.
Get what?
Hives.
Oh, hives. Yeah.
I never worked so hard in my life.
What are you kicking about? Look at my kids over there watering down the lettuce. Look at my poor wife. Oh, Alice!
What do you want?
Why don't you rest a while, dear? You've been stacking them beer cases all morning.
Time for outdoor sports, picnics, and weekend trips. Time to get out your handy portable radio and have it put in top operating condition. If you want clear listening from your portable radio, take it to your local radio dealer tomorrow for a complete inspection. It's smart to have him check it over because he knows portables best. Get your local radio serviceman or dealer to install fresh, new, long-lasting RCA radio batteries. No matter what make of portable you have, there's an RCA battery to fit it and to give it fresh, new power for the outdoor season ahead. Be sure to ask your radio dealer or serviceman for dependable RCA radio batteries. They're radio engineered for extra listening hours.
This is Phil again, folks. The enlisted women and women officers of the armed forces can truly be called the first ladies of the nation. 72,000 young women are needed by July the 1st. So check your favorite service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, or Nurses Corps right away. Thank you, and good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or record, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in television.
Next, Theater Guild on the Air presents Prologue to Glory on NBC.
Hollywood is on the air. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Ken Carpenter bringing you a preview of the film that every radio listener is waiting for, Love Thy Neighbor, the movie starring radio's two battling comedians, Jack Benny and Fred Allen.
Love Thy Neighbor. You should have Allen for a neighbor.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the picture that stars Jack and Fred together, with Mary Martin heading the supporting cast, and Barry Teasdale, the Mary Max, Virginia Dale, and Jack's man of all work, Rochester, joining in the festivities. Love Thy Neighbor.
Love Thy Neighbor, yes, but love Benny, never.
It's a picture loaded with laughs and music, comedy and romance, not to mention a gang of the swellest looking girls you've seen in years. That reminds me, Jack, where are the girls?
I'll find them right away. Oh, Joe! What happened to the girls?
I don't know. Hey, Eddie, where are the girls?
I don't know. Hey, Bill, where are the girls?
I don't know. Hey, Sam!
Never mind, let it go. I'll find them myself.
Yes, sir, it's more fun than any picture in years, and we're happy today to be able to bring you the stars of Love Thy Neighbor in person to show you what goes on the screen. And to start our show off, we bring you one of America's favorite entertainers, Fred Allen.
Thank you.
Fred, how'd you like working with Jack Benny in Love Thy Neighbor?
Frankly, Mr. Benny is an artistic faux-paw. How people can laugh at that corn-fed clown is beyond me, sir. His idea of humor is giving his grandmother a hot foot and then hiding the fire extinguisher. He's as funny as a leak in an oxygen tent, and that's only a synopsis.
My word, suppose he heard you say that.
He's lower than a snail's outlook, and if I ever get my hands on him, I'll beat him incognito. I'll tear him...
What, Alan?
You heard me.
Yes, I heard you, and you better close that slow leak.
Shh, Jack, Fred, we're on the air.
You better close that slow leak under your nose before I vulcanize it. Put your hands up, Benny. I'll put so many lumps on you, you'll think you've got a skin full of tea bag.
Oh, yes? If I ever hit you on the nose, the world will finally know what you're using for blood.
Come in.
I was told I would find Jack Benny here.
Mm. Hello.
This is a break. It's Mary Martin, ladies and gentlemen, and Mary, you came just in the nick of time. Jack and Fred were just about to lace into each other. I think maybe if you got in there and danced or sang or something, it might relieve the tension.
You do sing and dance, don't you?
Oh, she sure does, Jack. And if she'll do a song for us right now, maybe you and Fred will get a chance to cool off.
Well, what are we waiting for?
How about it, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to have the Mary Max step up to the microphone to assist her.
Calm is the night, the wind is asleep, a drowsy old moon mopes above. Suddenly comes a jolt, crash goes a thunderbolt. Isn't that just like love? Straight is your path, and firm is your step, and then at the drop of a glove. Where is south, which is north? That is July the 4th. Isn't that just like love? Isn't it odd to walk up to a dream and say, don't I know you? Isn't it weird to hear miracles talk and say, well, how do you do? Clear is your mind and strong is your will. A mountain is simple to show. Then the ground falls apart. Boom goes your apple cart. Isn't that just luck, love?
Calm as the night, the wind is asleep. A drowsy old moon mopes above. All at once rose as rain when there's a hurricane. Isn't that just like love? Straight is your path and firm is your step, and then at the drop of a glove, bridges burn, buildings fall, clang, there's a riot call. Isn't that just like love? Isn't it odd to bump into a cloud and say, shake hands with fate, shake hands with fate. Isn't it strange to make friends with a haze and hear, tomorrow at eight, tomorrow at eight, tomorrow at eight. Bold are your views and lofty your aims. The stuff pioneers are made of. Hold your hat, grab your heart, boom
goes your apple cart.
Hold your hat, grab your heart, boom goes your apple cart.
That was Isn't That Just Like Love, sung by Mary Martin, with vocal encores by the Merrimacks. And now we present that well-known musician, that fiddler extraordinary, that road company Heifetz, Jack Benny. Jack, won't you play something for us?
Very well, I'll play if you insist. Of course, I'll have to borrow a fiddle from one of the boys in the orchestra.
Give him yours, Alonzo.
Turn that passe Peter Pan off.
Why, Fred.
Turn him off.
What's the matter, Fred?
This is no time to quibble, man. In just 1 second, Jack Benny will be playing Love and Bloom.
Well, don't you like music?
Music? You call that music? Brother, I have heard the raucous wail of the wildcat at bay. I have heard the eerie shriek of a ghost with its ectoplasm caught in a transom. I have heard a man with false teeth chewing slate pencils. And any one of those ear-defiling sonatas was closer to Love and Bloom than Benny is right now. Get me out of here.
Well, Rochester. Oh, Rochester.
You call me, boss?
That's some costume, Rochester.
Well, now, what in the world are you supposed to be?
I'm Romeo. I'm taking my favorite Juliet to a masquerade tonight.
Rochester, before you and Juliet step out, here's Teresa Harris, your girlfriend, in both Buck Benny Rides Again and Love Thy Neighbor. What do you say to you and Teresa singing your newest number, Dearest, Darest I?
Okay. Dearest, darest I, whisper prettily under thee. Thou art solid murder, what a kick thou givest me. When I'm sentimental, dost thou dig my jive? I feel gallant and gentle, is it bad if I'm glad I'm alive? Dearest, darest I, take thee tenderly in my arms, while I wax poetic on thy killer diller charm. Hark ye to my ticker, that's the reason why I fain would call a vicar. Oh, dearest, darest I.
My, thou flyest high.
Thou tellest I.
Dearest, darest I, darest I reply. Sir, you sabotage me with that thee and thou and thy. Shakespeare was a jive man, but where is he today? Why, heaven's sakes alive, man, thou sayest things he couldn't say. Dearest, darest we,
hip, hip, hip,
up the middle aisle. Then forsooth and yacky sacky, we couldst live in style.
Lord and lady snarling, prithee do drop by.
and Stratford on the Harlem. Oh, dearest,
oh, dearest,
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 dearest.
Ah, very fine, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting on toward the end of our Love Thy Neighbor program now. But before we go, I want to bring our two stars to the microphone once more, because they've both promised me confidentially to give us their honest opinion on this picture. Now, first we have Fred Allen. Fred, what do you really think deep down in your heart about Love Thy Neighbor?
Love Thy Neighbor is gay, exciting, diverting, and entertaining, with the possible exception of the seconds or minutes that Mr. Benny is on the screen.
Oh, thank you, Fred. And now Jack Benny. Jack, have you anything to add to what Fred Allen has said?
Don't mind him, folks. The rest of us carry him along. And Love Thy Neighbor is really a very nice show.
Oh, I'm sure it is, Jack.
And oh, yes, I forgot to tell you. Mary Martin sings My Heart Belongs to Daddy in the picture. And I'm Daddy.
She sure does sing it, Jack. And she's going to show us right now just how she does it. Ladies and gentlemen, the girl who made the song famous, the song that made the girl famous. Mary Martin singing My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
I used to fall in love with those boys who call themselves buddies. I used to trail young men at Yale and make them fail in their studies. But now I've come to care for such a sweet millionaire. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine Finnan Hattie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well. Though other dames at football games may long for a strong undergraddy, I never dream of playing the team, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been enjoying a radio preview of the new comedy Love Thy Neighbor, in which Jack Benny shares top billing with Fred Allen.
Top billing? That no-account nasal non-entity? Allen's in the picture for a small role, but it's not much. How could it be?
I don't know how, but that's what it says here. Fred, who would you say gets top billing, you or Jack Benny?
It is true that Benny wormed his way into Love Thy Neighbor, but let me assure you, no one is required to love neighbor Benny, as if anyone could.
Well, folks, that's the way it goes. But whatever Jack says and whatever Fred says, the two battling comedians of the airways do share starring honors in Love Thy Neighbor, and they've shared them on this radio preview of the picture. Also featured on this program from the cast of Love Thy Neighbor were Mary Martin, Rochester, Teresa Harris, and the Merrimacks. For a continuation of the melody and fun, we refer you to your favorite theater. This is Ken Carpenter speaking. This program was produced in the Paramount Studio in Hollywood.
Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, bring you another visit with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Again, we invite you to listen to the transcribed adventures of Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Huttle. Our story will be underway in just a minute.
This is Eleanor Engel. Say, how about this for an example of frustration? Let's say you have a splitting headache, or a cold, or a stuffy, upset stomach. So you look around for the Alka-Seltzer. Then you discover that someone has made off with the last Alka-Seltzer tablet and neglected to buy a new package. Talk about exasperating. Well, that needn't happen if you'll only remember this little rhyme. When your tablets get down to four, that's the time to buy some more. Some more Alka-Seltzer at the drugstore. And say, with the weekend coming up, it might be a good idea to get two packages. As you know, an extra package on the side keeps the family well supplied. So write it down right now, won't you? Two packages Alka-Seltzer. Keep a good supply for all the family, because there's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer.
Yes, Mabel, that's exactly how I feel about it. I think every woman in that club ought to... Wait a minute, Mabel. McGee's been awfully quiet the last few minutes. I better see what he's doing. McGee? McGee, where are you?
I'm here at the front door, Molly. I'm talking to somebody.
What about? What is it?
Oh, it's nothing. Just a business transaction. Now, young man, as I was saying...
Mabel, McGee's talking to a salesman. No telling what he's buying. I've got to run now. I'll call you back. Bye. Hold it, McGee. Hold everything till Mama gets there.
Huh?
Oh, hello, Miss McGee. How are you?
Oh, it's you, Richard.
Yeah, just the paper boy. Gee whiz, Molly, just because I once bought a set of Shakespeare from a book salesman, you don't have to jump every time I answer the door.
Gee, I'd love to have a set of Shakespeare.
In German? Shakespeare's hard enough for me in English, let alone...
Well, how'd I know it was in German? The guy never mentioned it.
I know, but even if you didn't open the books up, if you had just looked at the titles,
I did look at the titles. Hamlet still looks like Hamlet in German, and so does Macbeth.
How about Herr Romeo and Fräulein Juliet? And that other dilly, on Midsummer's Nacht geschmeckt, they gemacht, or whatever that silly thing...
Oh, please, Molly. Richard's got a problem. He was just telling me about it before you came rushing in here with that frying pan.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Richard. Go on.
Well, it's about this job of mine, delivering papers. You see, I got a lot of grouches on my route. Oh, that doesn't include you folks.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, we try to hold up our end. I'm out there just as soon as you throw that paper. Before, even.
Oh, if they were all like you, Mr. McGee, my job would be a cinch. Those other customers of mine, if the paper isn't there exactly on time or in the right place.
Say, that reminds me, Richard, a couple of times this week.
Let's say I threw it on the roof or in the hedge where it's hard to find. You know, something like that does happen.
Yeah, but how about that roof and hedge business? I've been meaning
to... Do you think they'd understand like you nice people do? That some days just don't go right? Or maybe my mother's sick and I gotta rush home and take care of her? You see, since my dad died... What do you say, Mr. McGee?
Oh, I was going to say, you don't have to worry about us, son. Well, we're the type that understands, right, Molly?
Yes. How is your mother, Richard?
Oh, she's fine.
Let him tell us what's on his mind, Jill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I need a little advice about these grouchy customers of mine. Mr. McGee told me once how he had a paper out back in Peoria when he was a boy.
Once? And... Oh, you're lucky, Richard. I hear those stories at least.
Molly, please. Go on, Rich.
Well, you see... I got a chance to play quarterback with the junior all-stars after school this afternoon. And if I do, the paper's going to be at least an hour late. And if I get four complaints in 1 week, I lose my route.
Well, the main thing is you got to know how to handle your customers, Rich. How to butter them up so they don't beef.
Maybe you can tell me how.
Well, I had me some nasty customers myself when I had my route back in Peoria. Remember old man Crabtree, Molly?
Oh, that old grouch. Was he on your route?
Yeah. I'll never forget the time I threw his paper through the window into his living room and dropped it right in his lap. Boy, was he sore.
Why, it sounds like good service to me, right in his lap.
Yeah, but this was in the winter, and the window was closed.
Oh.
Sit down, Richard. I'll tell you how I handled that situation. Maybe you can use my technique on your grouchy customers. You see, I had 3 complaints against me already that week. Molly, where are you?
In here, dearie. Is Richard gone?
Yeah.
Solved his little problem for him, did you?
Sure. He's gone home to get his football shoes and helmet. He can quarterback that game this afternoon without a worry on his mind. We got a rubber band, a heavy band.
I'm so glad you could help the lad out. He doesn't get much chance to play after school, you know.
Well, that's the way I figured it. Quarterbacking a football game is pretty important when you're 12 years old. With a bunch of grouch customers like old man Fossbinder, Dad Ratted, I can't find a heavy rubber band.
What do you want a heavy rubber band for?
My trouser leg. I'm going to deliver Richard's papers for him this afternoon while he plays football. I better practice riding his bicycle that he left for me.
What?
Now, don't panic. I know it's been 30 years since I straddled a bike, but it'll come back to me.
Oh.
Because once a paper boy, always a paper boy. And I'll be the best paper boy.
In a moment, we'll return to Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
The fun you have is good for you. You need it, you deserve it. The question is, do you always feel good enough to enjoy it? Sometimes a headache or an upset stomach just won't let you enjoy the fun that's so good for you. Well, that, my friend, is a situation that calls for speedy Alka-Seltzer, the medicine that's so refreshing.
You see, Alka-Seltzer becomes a relief-giving liquid that's better because of action in the glass.
Yes, action in the glass changes Alka-Seltzer tablets into a liquid. This is the form your system can use most easily and naturally for relief.
Action in the glass supercharges Alka-Seltzer with lively bubbles. This soothing liquid speeds relief.
Action in the glass makes Alka-Seltzer easy to absorb immediately. You'll like Alka-Seltzer for refreshing relief. Try it. For a headache or upset stomach, take Alka-Seltzer.
I told you it'd all come back to me, Molly. This bike riding is a cinch. Just like the old days.
Be careful, McGee. Don't pedal so fast. Oh, dear.
Step back. Now I'm going to try throwing this newspaper. Watch it.
Perfect. Right on the porch.
I told you I could do it. Now help me down, will you? I'll take this bike off the stand and try it out on the street with the wheels on the ground.
Oh, I don't know about this, McGee. Why don't you use the car?
Why, Molly, it's tradition, kiddo, tradition. Newspapers have always been delivered by bicycle. Just like I used to do on my old route back in Peoria. Boy, those were the days.
I'm glad we lived through them.
I was probably the best bike rider in Peoria in them days. It's funny how quick it all comes back to me. I still got an hour or so before I start the route, so help me on the bike again and I'll practice up a little.
That's it, McGee. That's it. You're doing fine. Watch out for that rock.
I see it. I'm coming in for a landing. Watch me come to a stop right in front of you. A dead stop.
Oh, don't use that word.
Ah, how was that, Tootsie? Pretty good, huh? Boy, this is just like the old days.
Just please be careful, won't you? You don't get up off the ground so quickly as you did when you were 12 years old.
Hey, look what time it is. I gotta run. I still gotta pick up my papers at the corner and put rubber bands around them. And, hey, you wanna come along and help me deliver? You can ride on the handlebars like you used to do.
No, thanks. They don't seem to make the handlebars as wide as they did when I was a girl. You go ahead. We'll just wait out front here for you.
We?
Me and the bottle of liniment.
Oh, okay. I'll be by with your paper first, Tootsie, just like I used to in the old days. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You always brought our paper first, didn't you?
Sure. I'll never forget when you saw me coming. You'd always fix your hair with a ribbon in it and run to the window and yell, "Get off of that lawn. We just put new grass seed in there."
Well, you just keep off of ours today, too, because my dahlia bulbs
Don't you worry about a thing. You just go on in and put a pretty ribbon in your hair, baby. I'll be by in about 20 minutes. Oh, so long.
I'll watch for you. Be careful.
Ah, this is going to be fun. Just like the good old days.
Ah, is it, my dear? I came over as soon as I could. What are you doing standing out here in the middle of the street?
Waiting for McGee, Doctor. I'm so glad you got here.
Where is he?
Well, he took over little Richard's paper route this afternoon so the boy could play in the football game, Doctor. And he was riding past the house here, showing off, you know, no hands, and he took a terrible spill.
Oh, the silly idiotic. When did it happen?
In about 5 or 10 minutes from now.
What?
You'll see. Just wait right here, please.
Well, of course, but I...
When he was telling me about how he delivered papers back in Peoria and how he always delivered my dad's paper first, it all came back to me. He never delivered our paper like anyone else's.
No?
No, no. For me, he had to come tearing down the street with his feet on the handlebars, ringing the bell with his heel, holding the paper in his teeth and both hands behind his back. And every time he did that... Uh-oh, here he comes. Let's get up on the curb, Doctor, because no telling
hey,
where...
Hey, he rides that bike pretty good.
Hey, Molly, remember this stunt? No hands. Just like the old days.
McGee, watch the tree.
I see it, Fatso.
The ash cans, look out!
What happened?
Here, let me help you up. You all right?
Oh, I guess so. I hurt my shoulder a little.
Help him in the house, will you, Doctor?
Sure.
What are you going to do with that bike, kiddo?
Don't you remember?
Huh?
I'm going to finish your route for you, just like I did in the old days. Bye!
Oh, yeah. Just like the old days.
Your friends have more to say to you presently.
I wonder if you realize that a vitamin shortage is one of the common causes of loss of pep and energy. It can make you feel and look below par. Now, of course, you can't always be sure your meals give you enough of these essential food elements. But you can be sure if you supplement your meals with one-a-day brand multiple vitamin tablets. They supply all the vitamins anyone normally needs to take in one small, easily swallowed tablet. And you can get this protection with one-a-day brand multiple vitamins for less than 3 cents a tablet. Remember, too, they contain vitamin B12. Tell your druggist you want one-a-day brand multiple vitamin tablets.
Did you finish the route okay, kiddo?
Yes, not only that, but I signed up 3 new customers.
Hey, that's wonderful.
Richard says I'm entitled to a prize for that, and he gave me this catalog. I can pick out anything I want.
Oh, what are you going to get?
A baseball bat.
What are you going to do with a baseball?
The next time you decide to take over somebody's paper route and ride a bicycle, no hands.
Oh, okay, I get the point. So long, everybody.
Goodbye, y'all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly, transcribed, is brought to you Mondays through Fridays at this time by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Dr. Gamble is played by Arthur Q. Bryan. Richard the Paperboy was played by Richard Beals. Well, that ends another week for us, but we'll all be back again Monday when the McGees join the Wistful Vista Social Whirl to take in a big theatrical production as guests of the theater owner. If you don't think Fibber lives it up, you don't know the front half of Fibber, McGee, and Molly. This is John Wall saying goodbye.
Hear the news with Pauline Frederick today on most NBC radio stations.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.